Good afternoon, guys. I'm going to pull a Bob Gray and ask that we would stand up and that we would greet at least 2 to 3 guys before you sit down, not at your own table. See, that's good. It got you guys up and fellowshipping with each other. That's good. That's good. My assignment today, guys, is to talk about strength and suffering. How many of you have ever suffered or had pain or adversity, difficulties, stresses, struggles in your life? I think it's a common denominator. We all face that and deal with that. Coach Tony Dungy is a remarkable man. When I see him or think of him, I think of a man of integrity, a man of virtue, a man of honor, successful Super Bowl coach, leading and guiding the Colts several years ago to a Super Bowl championship. Very remarkable man. He's written 3 books. He has a children's book. He and his wife are co-authoring coming out in the new year. He's a broadcaster now for NFL games. Many would look at Tony Dungy and say, this man has his act together, his life together, and he has no problems and no issues. How many of you read his first book, Quiet Strength? A lot of guys in here. At 1:45 a.m. in the morning, his wife, Lauren, picked up the phone on December 22nd, 2005, thinking that it was a call concerning one of the players was having a problem or an issue. She handed the phone to Tony only to find out on the other end that their son Jamie had taken his own life. And it sent them into a tailspin that was very difficult for he and his wife and family to handle. In his book, Quiet Strength, Tony talks about that experience. Painful as it was, we needed to move forward. Getting back into our routine was important. Lauren knew me well. Work would keep my mind off my own pain, but I wanted to make sure that Lauren and the kids were as emotionally stable as possible under the circumstances. We talked about the way the situation had forced us to practice what we preach. Listen to that, guys. Practice what we preach. I had counseled so many players and others throughout the years, and now it was time to follow my own advice and counsel. These were certainly tough times, but our family couldn't quit living just because times were tough. Lauren and I knew our only option was to trust God and let Him lead us through the pain. Even though we didn't understand why Jamie had taken his life, our job was to persevere and continue to follow the Lord no matter what. The Colts were surviving without me. Jim Caldwell had been running the team in my absence. They didn't need me, but I needed them. I thought back to the messages I had been giving for years. Times will get tough. God doesn't promise that once we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, we'll be protected from harm and pain and stress. But He does promise that He'll be there to lean on during those times. I thought it critical that during this time of my own staggering loss, everyone watching our team see me live out those lessons rather than quit when times were tough. I thought it best that we practice what we preach. Can I tell you that suffering does not develop our character, it demonstrates it? Can I tell you when we go through times of adversity and hardship and pain, our real nature, our real character as human beings comes to the surface? Can I tell you that, guys? I've seen that in my own life, and I've seen that in the lives of other people. Here we have a man by the name of the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to this young, fledgling protege by the name of Timothy, very young in the ministry, and he's writing to encourage him and exhort him in the faith. He's about ready to pass the baton of responsibility and leadership to him. And we find Paul in this case, as 2 Timothy opens up, in prison with his life on the line. See, previously, as you read the book of Philippians, In chapter 1, verses 12 to 13, we find him in prison there, where he's under house arrest, and it's a whole different day and time. But Paul always looked at even those adverse situations as opportunities to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says that in Philippians 1, 12 to 13. This is an opportunity, even my imprisonment, to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now the word that is used for suffering, it's used at least four times in the first two chapters, is the word pasco in the Greek. And you guys say, so what does that mean? That means to be vexed. It means intense pain. It means to go through traumatic, life-altering situations. And I think that when we look at suffering and pain and adversity, it's a common denominator. We all struggle with that. It's a universal language that, to some degree, whether it's mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, whatever it is that we're going through, we all go through different types and forms of suffering. Now, in 15 minutes, it's very hard to deal with the whole topic of suffering. But when I think of suffering, the first biblical character that I think of that comes to mind, who's the poster child for suffering, is, you guys know, Job. And that's the truth. It is Job, a man who lost so much. He lost everything. But at the end of his life, God blessed him in marvelous, amazing, amazing ways. When I was studying this text, the first chapter of 2 Timothy, God revealed to me some things that I'm thankful that He did to help us when we go through times of suffering, when we go through trials and tribulations in our life. And let's face it, guys, if we haven't been there, you're going to potentially be there at some day and time. If you haven't faced some adversity yet, you can bank on it that you potentially will in the future. You will. When you go through adversity, when you go through trials. And Paul is sharing some insightful counsel, advice with this young protege by the name of Timothy. Now, he's gone through his own struggles in his own life, and he's gone through some sense of suffering because Paul seems to want to charge his battery spiritually because he seems rather timid. He seems rather reserved. He seems rather backward and rather shy to a certain extent. But Paul shares with him four things, and I have some blanks there for you guys to fill in. Four bits of advice, four bits of practical counsel when we go through any kind of suffering, pain, trial, adversity in life. The first one, he says, is we need to have a genuine faith. He says that in verse 5. Timothy, I'm reminded of your genuine, authentic faith. The faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, and I know dwelt in your mother Eunice. See, Timothy was a man from a generational faith. Although we can't be saved on the coat strings or apron strings of our grandparents or our parents or anybody else. We need to have a genuine faith on our own, guys. And it's interesting that he talks about that kind of genuine faith that he noticed in Timothy's life. And I will tell you, guys, in these last days in which we're living, and I believe we're living in the last days, we need to have a genuine faith. We really do. And I want to challenge you as you look at your own life. Can you say, I have that genuine faith? I know for sure that I have that genuine faith, and that faith is real to me. Dr. David Jeremiah, in a book that he recently wrote called The Coming Economic Armageddon, has this main point to emphasize in his book. He says, keep your heart in the faith. Keep your heart in the faith. Now, there's different levels and types of faith. There's saving faith, obviously. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace you're saved through faith. And unless you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't have that kind of faith. You have faith, but the most important kind of faith we can have is faith in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, who died 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary to purchase a place for us in heaven and to redeem us from the slave market of sin. There's transforming faith, but there's trusting faith as well. Because one of the terminologies that Paul loves to use throughout the New Testament is we walk by faith and not by sight. And he continues to talk about walking by faith as we trust the Lord. How important is that on our daily basis, to trust the Lord every day by faith, living our life by faith? Absolutely. And the third kind of faith is transmitting faith, because Paul continues to kind of hit this theme throughout chapter 1 and even chapter 2. He says, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. And it goes back to Romans chapter 1, verse 16, which is the theme of the book of Romans. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, for the Jew first, but also to the Greek. Guys, are you ashamed? Do you ever get embarrassed about your faith? Or do people try to embarrass you about your faith at times? Have people put you on the spot and made you feel awkward? Paul says, I'm not ashamed. I'm never ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The first thing that we need as we go through times of suffering is a genuine, authentic, and Paul says, the real deal kind of faith. And I'll tell you guys, when you go through any kind of suffering, it will really prove what kind of faith you really, really, really have. The second thing we need is a God focus. We need to focus on the Lord as we go through. You know what the problem is? The problem is we focus on ourselves and we focus on our circumstances. And you know what we start doing? We start having a pity party for ourselves. Woe is me. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I might as well eat worms and die. And we really get down. Or we start blaming. It's not my problem. It's George Schrader's problem. And we start pointing a finger of accusation toward other people as we go through painful, difficult circumstances. Don't we? Am I just talking to myself? See, here's my real problem, guys. This is my real problem. Because remember when Paul was going through some difficult times, and you go back in Paul's life and you look at all the suffering he went through, and you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 beginning in verse 23, and he talks about all the ordeals and all the suffering and all the hardship he went through. And then in chapter 12 he says he prays to the Lord. Three times he sought the Lord, and there was a messenger of Satan that was sent to harass him. Remember that? Do you remember reading specifically why God permitted that? Paul says to keep me from being too elated, too puffed up, too proud, too prideful. Guess what my real problem... See, you guys don't know my heart. My heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. No man understands it. See, I want to live my life for me. It's all about me. And I struggle with pride. No one here struggles with that, do you guys? No, nobody has an issue with that. But see, Paul could say in Galatians 2:20, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He says, I have to crucify myself daily. See, the problem is me. And when I go through suffering and adversity, I want to make it all about me. You guys never have that struggle, do you? I do. I'll be honest. I struggle with that. Because you see, in the last days, Paul wrote Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. He said, people will be lovers of them. Guys, we're living in the last days. We really are. I struggle with that. And here's what I've got to do every day. Here's what I got to do. I got to put Jesus Christ on the throne of my heart. I've got to submit myself. I've got to crucify the flesh. And let me tell you guys, I got to do it multiple times a day. It's not just once a day. I've got to do it multiple times a day where I'm crucifying myself, my flesh, my pride, my ego, what's in it for me, and living my life for Jesus Christ. You see, if he's truly Lord and Savior of our lives, guys, we got to do that. It's not something that happens automatic. We've got to intentionally die to self so we can live for Jesus Christ. I struggle with that. I'll be honest. See, I want to have Jesus Christ on the throne of my life. Third thing that Paul reminds Timothy is great friends. When you go through times of adversity, don't you lean on some other people? Don't you? How important are your friends to you at times when you have gone through adversity? How important are your friends to you? Rick Shuck, how important were your friends to you when you went through your cancer a year ago? How important were they to you? Chuck McCoskey, how important have your friends been to you in recent days and times? See, Paul said there were several guys that deserted him. He mentions them by name. It's the only place in the New Testament they're ever mentioned. These two guys deserted him. They abandoned him. They left him in a lurch when he needed somebody to come alongside of him the most. But he mentions one guy, Onesiphorus. What a name. How would you like to name your kid Onesiphorus? But it says there that Onesiphorus refreshed me. In the Greek it says this, guys. He was like a breath of fresh air. Do you have friends like that are a breath of fresh air to you? Do you have guys that when you connect with them, you go up and hug them and embrace them and say, man, I'm so glad to see you. You are precious. You are priceless to me. I value our friendship. I thank God for our friendship. You see, it says in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And there are people that when we go through adversity, let me tell you, you will know who your true friends are, not when times are good, but when times are bad. And Paul says, Onesiphorus, he came and refreshed me, and he was not ashamed or embarrassed by even my chains, seeing me in prison. See, when we go through bad times and hard times, guys, you want those kind of people to be in the trench with you, don't you? I do. I'm just speaking for myself. I want those kind of people on my team. There's a lot of fair-weather friends today who say they're your friends, but they're not really your friends, who will desert you and abandon you when you need somebody the most. Paul had it. You're going to have it too, potentially. So value your friendships. Finally, there's a good fight. I'm going to jump over to chapter 2, verse 3. He says, fight the fight as a good soldier. Can I tell you we are in a spiritual war, guys? Can I tell you that? Can I tell you that we're going to have stuff thrown, and those who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted? There's a young girl by the name of Brooke Bronkowski. She was in junior high and she saved all of her babysitting money. With her babysitting money, she bought Bibles for her unsaved friends. Kids at school made fun of her and ridiculed her, and she led a Bible study, an after-school Bible study, in junior high school at 12, 13 years of age. Remarkable young lady. As a matter of fact, she loved the Lord so much that she looked for every opportunity she could to share her faith in Jesus Christ. Francis Chan, and if you've never read this book, I recommend it to you. Crazy Love. Francis Chan tells her story. And she wrote a poem when she was 12 years of age. Let me share this with you. Since I have my life before me, I'll live my life to the fullest. I'll be happy. I'll brighten up. I will be more joyful than I ever have been. I'll be kind to others. I will loosen up. I will tell others about Christ. I will go on adventures and change the world. I will be bold and not change who I really am. I have no troubles, but instead help others with their troubles. You see, I'll be one of those people who live to be history makers at a young age. Oh, I'll have moments, good and bad, but I will wipe away the bad and only remember the good. In fact, that's all I remember, just good moments. Nothing in between, just living my life to the fullest. I'll be one of those people who goes somewhere with a mission, an awesome plan, a world-changing plan, and nothing will hold me back. I'll set an example for others. I will pray for direction. I have my life before me. I will give others the joy I have, and God will give me more joy. I will do everything God tells me to do. I will follow the footsteps of God. I will do my best. 14 years of age, driving in a car, freshman in high school, she was killed in an automobile accident. Francis Chan, her pastor, had her funeral. There were over 1,500 people at her funeral. When Francis Chan gave the invitation to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior at the end of the service, over 200 young people came forward to accept Christ at the end of that service and kneeled in front of that sanctuary, and they were handed Bibles that this young girl had collected with all of her life savings. Tell me that God doesn't work miraculously even through difficult circumstances, guys. Don't tell me that God is not a God who works in the midst of difficult situations. I've seen it. That's why Paul could say, "For I know whom I believe, and I may, he is able to do all that I've committed unto him." Our God is able. Let me tell you, he is able, guys. He's an able God. Now, I don't know what you're going through in your life right now. God does. You may be going through some adversity, some suffering, some pain, some trial, some test, some tribulation. Let me remind you from the pen of one who is in prison, some of the wise counsel he gives us. Have a genuine faith. Have a God focus, not a self-centered focus. Put God at the center of your life every day. Lean on your good friends, your great friends. Remember, you have a good fight. That's why Paul said, "The time of my departure has come. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge will award to me, and not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing." Father, I pray for these men. I pray, Father, that you will just encourage them. I pray, Lord, that you'll give them strength. I remember what Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And Father, I don't know the particular situations and life experiences these men are going through, but you do. So I pray, Father, that you'll just encourage them immensely today, and that you'll give them the strength they need to endure. We give you praise, we give you thanks in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.